Sports. Wine. Life. This is the Macko and Cos podcast.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to a very busy and will be a slightly noisy Macko and Cos podcast. Happy Monday to everyone. Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm good. Why is it going to be noisy?
Well, there's background there. Amy is cooking a turkey. I hear she's making tea for you, so there's a kettle going on. There's a lot of activity here in the official Macko and Cos studios.
That's true. It does feel abnormally homey and active today.
Yeah.
And I'm chewing celery.
Yeah.
Which I guess I can't do during the pod. I can't sneak celery in.
Well, you just have to give me like the heads up and I'll do like a 40 second rant about something, you know, just to allow you to have another piece of celery. Because yeah, celery's tough. Celery is not an easy snack. Hey, when we give reads for Seat Giant or for Jeff Pollock, that's a perfect time for celery.
I can just squirrel myself away to the hallway and have my celery there.
Exactly.
My celery, my secret celery.
Your secret celery.
Ooh, he tenses his fingers gleefully.
By the way, secret things should be a little bit better than celery.
Tell me about
celery. It doesn't feel like it should be a secret.
I kind of feel like Secret Santa has gone, like when people used to put love into Secret Santa, but now you basically just
gift
find
card.
A person and you're like, what do you want?
What do you
coffee?
Want?
Yeah. Timmy's?
15, Timmy gift card.
15 bucks at Timmy's?
Yeah. Here's a card. You can get 2 6-foot subs.
The gift.
Merry Christmas.
The gift card is brilliant,
yeah.
But it's the worst.
It is the worst. Yeah, it's the lowest form of just emotion being put into a gift is the gift card. It's just
the gift
here.
Card is like a form letter.
Yeah,
but for love.
Yeah, exactly. Dear, insert your name here.
Right.
Enjoy the Christmas holiday or other and blah, 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 blah.
Tons to get to today, Matthew.
A lot to get to. We've got top 5 best smells for food cooking in the kitchen. We've got Leafs, Raptors, you climbing the CN Tower.
Sure did.
And also, but how do we have to start with Bob? Mm. I had the creepiest morning ever.
Now, this better be good because you're putting this above on the rundown, above me climbing the world's third tallest freestanding building.
Oh, my God.
So this better be good.
When you do it like that, Bob, you've already shamed me. But I'm going to keep going. I'm going to plow forward.
It's not like you to stop.
Yeah, exactly. Woke up this morning at 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
Alarm goes off. I go, and by the way, Amy's away, so I'm alone. I go to turn the light on. Light doesn't work. Go to turn the other light on. It doesn't work. I then look around and can see the power is out. Power out is bad enough, but at 4:30 in the morning when you just wake up, it's very disorientating. So now all you have is the light from your cell phone to try to get around your place. And I'm like, I'm not taking a shower with no lights on. What if this is a zombie apocalypse? And then I go down into the hallway. Hallway's empty with just the emergency lighting. Got to take the stairs, empty. And then the garage, all dark and empty. And at one point, right before I leave, I realize I forget my glasses. And where are they? I left them on the bed. So I had to go back upstairs to my bedroom to get my glasses. I'm like, that's where they're going to kill me when I forgot something. It was a really super creepy morning.
All right. So let me get this straight.
Yeah.
In your mind.
Yeah.
Editor Matt Cos.
Yeah.
Editor-in-chief, Mr. Yeah. Perry White.
That's right.
You thought your incredible saga of having to get out the door without a light on was more noteworthy than me climbing 144 flights of stairs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had to climb down 13 flights of stairs.
No, not in the dark.
In the dark.
Oh, no, Matt. And wait a minute. Yeah. Did you leave your glasses behind and then have to go back and get them?
And I didn't know if the water was working. So when
you didn't know if the water was working? Was it?
I don't know.
Oh, good. Oh, whew.
I don't know if it was, but when I took a pee, I then brushed my teeth and spat the toothpaste in the toilet because I knew I at least had one flush, so I had to make it count. It was a very disturbing morning.
Can you take 2 seconds? I just got to Google narcissist to see. Is it just one C, two S's?
I think it's two C's, and then there might be a C later on.
M-A-T-T, Amy says is how you spell it.
So that was my
I climbed the tower.
Yes. How'd that go?
It went pretty well. You know what we never discussed ahead of time, apart from the obvious physical challenge of doing 144 flights of stairs?
That's a lot.
It is a lot. It took me 23 minutes and 15 seconds.
Yep.
And what really I didn't factor in as much as I should have is my fear of heights.
Yeah.
I don't
probably should have been a primary factor.
I don't. I'm not afraid of heights in the way some people are afraid of spiders, where they'll like scream if they see them.
Or possible zombies in an empty condominium building.
You are just going to work this until you get... I don't think you're getting it over the finish line.
I'm still going
to
try.
So what I had to do is I had to focus.
Yeah.
Focus. Stare straight ahead. It was like the conversation with yourself. You're not human. You're not human. You can do this. And so you get to the top after 144, and you're just drenched with sweat and tired. And they're like, yay, you did it. Okay, just through this door and go and get some water. And you think, there's 10 more flights after that. 10 more flights.
God, those last 10.
Couldn't believe it. With each new flight, I was like, are you kidding?
Was it packed? How does it work?
7,000 people did it.
Yeah. Like, was there any sort of sense of claustrophobia?
Yeah. I mean, it's, I wasn't sure if you would look outside or not, because, you know, the elevator has the windows on it.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
But no, you're actually inside a stairwell. And I had to really concentrate on not thinking, okay, now I'm 120 floors up.
Okay, so now how many, is there any window access as you're...
No,
okay,
no,
so
you are just in a stairwell.
Okay, so I mean, that's good at least.
It's pretty, it's actually easier to make your fear go away.
Yeah, if you're not
really
looking.
See what you're doing.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's pretty embarrassing when like 11-year-old kids are whizzing past you though. You've done marathons before.
Yeah.
What's the most embarrassing pass you had? I had a kid with a backpack on go whizzing past me, and I'm thinking that this kid, like, he's still using children's TTC tickets for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, first off, again, congrats, Bob. That's a hell of an accomplishment.
Thank you.
I think for me, like when I was running, I remember one time I was doing the 30K around the bay with Amy. And we're running along, and suddenly some dude in a tie-dye shirt passes us. So, because Amy and I were planning on doing the whole run together, but at that point, my competitive nature kicked in. I'm like, I'll see you at the finish line, because I can't let tie-dye guy pass me. And I have a basic philosophy when I'm running. It's the ass theory. And it's not based on one gender. It's, if there's a fat ass in front of me, then I'm like, I should probably be able to pass this fat ass. But then you know, and again, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But then if I see like an attractive ass in front of me, male or female, I'm like, okay, no shame in falling in being second to that ass.
I did a triathlon a couple of years ago, and I had this really funny, instructive life moment.
Yeah.
There was this woman who was getting ready. She had the full jersey on, and she looked like she had some, well, she did have obviously some kind of structural back issue, like maybe a scoliosis kind of thing.
Yeah.
Ooh. And it looked like this would be really hard for her to do. And of course, my first instinct is, that's amazing. Good for you.
Good for
like,
you.
That's fantastic. And then we both hopped on our bikes, and she freaking dusted me.
Yeah.
And she was off like a flash. And what it started off as, what I realized was this, not quite condescending, but sort of like this assumption I had in my mind about
good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, like what her performance would be like. Oh, okay. Like she'll go and she'll do her thing and she'll get the participant ribbon. Like she smoked me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. In fact,
did you try to go faster? Because you're like, I can't lose to her.
No, no, no. But, well, it also became obvious really quickly. It wasn't going to be worth the effort.
Yeah.
But, you know, you go in this loop, right? And so I saw her coming back and I'm like, man, you are going to lap me. Good for you, though.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's funny how those things work. I will say this before we move on.
Sure.
I was a little insulted by the number of people who congratulated me. Like, after a certain point, I started to take it kind of personally. Like, hey, that's amazing you did that. It's like, well, you know, a lot of people did this. Why is it so amazing that I did it?
Yeah,
like,
it's almost what condescending.
Really, yeah, though, like, what are you trying to say here? That it's amazing that I would do anything?
Yeah. I will add to that in a different sort of, but in a different way, in terms of the stop congratulating me. There are points in a marathon where you get super tired. Usually it's somewhere around kilometer 33.
Is that like a natural physical barrier for people?
Yeah, well, it certainly has been.
Like the rookie wall?
It certainly has been for me. And from 33 to 40 sucks. And the one thing I hated was, and it was especially a lot of young people, like say 13 to 20, and you'd be at kilometer 35, and like, hey, good for you, keep it up. And they've got energy, and they're smiling, and they're clapping. And I want to be like, bleep you. take your smile and shove up your ass. I am tired. I am miserable. I don't need you and your energy right now. Totally not fair, but that's what would go on through my head.
Nah, the Keeners, the up with people crowd can be kind of irritating in those dark moments. I learned an important lesson from my wife about how to congratulate people.
Yeah.
We ran into this friend of mine. She didn't really know her, but I knew her for years. And she used to be kind of heavy, right? Like maybe, you know, 20, 30 pounds overweight.
Sure.
And I ran into her and she looked really fit. She looked fantastic.
Don't say if you lost weight.
No, I didn't. No. I said, I was young at the time too. And I said, oh man, you look amazing.
Stop. Nope. Too much.
You look really great.
You do that once. You don't do a second run of that.
So my wife looked at me and she said, you just called her fat.
Yep.
I'm like, no, I just told her she looked incredible. She goes, no, you were too excited about how good she looked.
Ding, ding, ding.
She thought, now she's walking away saying, that guy thinks I was fat before.
Yep, 100%.
And you know what I realized from that little exchange between my wife and I? I should just shut up. Mm-hmm. My job now is to shut up always.
No, you just have to be a little offhand. Hey, yeah, you look great. Or just one time. And then you move on. You move on.
And I go back to people congratulating me about this. Bob, that is so amazing that you did this.
Now, can I admit something?
Oh, brother, sure.
And what people don't know is that Amy and her twin sister, Christy, are right behind us. And they're not going to be happy with me for this.
Okay.
Every marathon I've ever done, I've congratulated other people. But if I see it's the half marathoners or worse, the relay runners, I do not congratulate them at all. I'm like, Yeah. Shut up back there. I'm like, listen, I did 42K.
Are you doing Andy Kaufman a wrestling bit right now? Yeah, like, exactly. What's the deal here? Hey, shut up, everybody. Go back to your lousy jobs.
Shut up. We are poor. But yeah, so I would not give them the same congratulations. I was tired.
A half marathon's pretty hard.
A full marathon's twice as hard.
Yeah, but it's not about you. It's about them and their effort.
I get that. Like I said, it's not something I'm the most proud of.
But I don't care.
Moving on.
You are the king of dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So sports.
Yeah.
We know who the Leafs are playing.
Jeez. To no one's surprise, Boston.
What do you mean? If Boston had beaten Florida, it was going to be Tampa Bay.
Oh, you knew it was going to work out this way. Because, okay, not only is Toronto going to play Boston, which is the lesser of the two options that they could have reasonably faced, but freaking Philly has won 14 in a row, and now Cleveland is going to finish fourth
in the
East.
Oh, I know.
And so Toronto is going to face Cleveland in the second round, even though they won the conference.
I know. It's not fair.
That's why I'm just like, of course, the worst case scenario would happen to the Toronto teams. Sorry to be the guy who's like peeing in the cornflakes of what should be a lot of fun, but I looked at both of these scenarios and I thought, no, universe, you help us. Try that for a change.
And the Raptors could face the Wizards in the first round. We don't know yet.
As of with now, John Wall. With John Wall.
Yeah. So that's not easy. Which one do you want to start with of the two? You'll start with Leafs or Rappies?
Well, we could also start with the Masters. I know that was important. Yeah. Patrick Reed?
Yeah.
Captain America. I watched about as much of the Masters as you watched baseball leading up to the last podcast.
Okay. Yeah.
Because here's what I realized. I don't care.
Okay.
And I just want to embrace this.
Yeah.
And can I finally come clean and just say, I couldn't give a shit about golf.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay.
Absolutely.
What were your impressions?
I love Sunday. I didn't watch a lot on. I watched a little tidbits from Thursday through Saturday, and I was actively keeping up with it. But then Sunday I watched a lot because he was pushed by people we knew.
Right.
First, it was like, oh, you think it was gonna be Rory? Then he backs. Then he's out. But then Jordan Spieth throwing out a 64 on Sunday. Fowler, you know, was able to at least push him to the end. So it was exciting. But I will say this. It would have been a lot more interesting if it wasn't Patrick Reed and all of Sunday. Much the same way I dismissed the half marathoners and the relay runners, I was rooting against Patrick Reed. Every shot he took, I'm like, go in the woods, go in the woods, go in the water, go in the woods, go in the water. So that's how I consumed a lot of the Masters.
I can see that. I got a couple dumb golf questions for you, maybe.
I might not have the answers. I'm not exactly golf expert.
Ricky Fowler, always orange pants? Because I don't know if I've ever seen him without the orange pants.
I call him the creamsicle. He's very white, but there's a lot of orange prominently featured.
That's actually a pretty good name for him.
Yeah.
And why doesn't a hat, like, why doesn't he get a hat that fits? He's got like this, it looks like an army helmet on his head, but with a brim.
Yeah.
What's the deal with that?
No idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
And also, I caught a couple minutes of it, and one of the announcers, somebody old sounding, goes, "Ricky Fowler, yep, the younger generation loves him," which I thought was probably the oldest sounding thing I've heard ever.
Well, it's golf, Bob. It's never going to be the young and hip sport. You know, you're never going to see, okay, this hole is being brought, you know, Migos is not coming out to tell you what's going on the seventh tee. So you're not going to get that.
I guess the thing for me is, because I don't golf,
yep,
I look at it and I just see people doing basically what looks like the same thing with slightly different results each time.
Yeah, I can get that. If you don't golf and you watch it on TV, that makes sense. I have a greater appreciation, but at the same point, as we yell and scream all the time, can't be in everything.
No, but I guess, are people happy about this result?
No, I mean, well, they're happy.
What's the response? You did morning radio today.
The drama was good on Sunday, but people didn't want Patrick Reed to win. They wanted Fowler or Spieth.
Like, now, is he a jerk at all, or is it just because he's not famous?
Because he's not famous. If he becomes famous, then it'll be a different case.
You realize this is why tennis is awesome. Because the 25th ranked person in tennis doesn't win the biggest tournament of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, the good old predictable tennis.
Right. So in other words, the best win.
Yeah.
Those who excel.
Well, if you look at the four people that are now currently the major champions, Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas are two of them. They're two of the best players. So
fair enough. again, can I just take a quick rip on Tiger? How he's no Roger Federer?
Knock yourself out.
All right. Once again. Mm-hmm. And I'm still wondering.
How's Roger doing this year, by the way? Not so good, Al.
Well, he started off the year winning more to begin of the year than any other in his career.
Yeah. He's not winning now.
So here's the real question we need to get to.
Yeah.
You and I had a bet when we did radio that someone would buy the other person a steak depending on whether Tiger or Roger won their first major on their comebacks.
Sure.
And I won.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it happened. Do I ever get the steak? And also the Clayton Kershaw 25. We had a bet for a steak.
Yeah, that one you'll get.
Yeah, so I will get that one?
That one you'll get.
Okay, so why do you pick one versus the other? Is the other one still an open file?
Yeah, it's open file.
Yeah, it's not. Well, because it was about the first person to do it. And it's already happened, I guess, three times.
I don't remember that one. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
I'm not a welcher. I might be a delayer, but I'm not a welcher.
You can't say I'm not a welcher when you say I'm not going to pay my bet. No, I'm not a welcher. I'm just not going to pay my
bet.
But
I don't even know if that bet exists.
So do I need to get this in writing from now on?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I don't remember that one. I do remember the Clayton Kershaw one. I still didn't win the World Series. But that one...
What does that mean? I don't get sides with my steak?
Exactly. You get the steak,
or do I have to pick
no mushrooms.
What do I have to pick? Like a lower cut? Like, do I get round? What is it called? Porter?
You get a flank steak. You get a flank steak there.
We call them minuta steaks.
Actually, I don't mind flank steaks. They're actually pretty good.
Are they?
Yeah.
You got to sear the pan. That's the key.
My only thought on the Masters, because... Mm-hmm. Afterwards, everyone forgets about it so fast. It's build up, it happens, and boom. Is that all four champions, all of them are 27 or under. And if you're Tiger Woods, that might make you a little nervous. You're 40. Now, other guys have won, you know, majors or close to majors after the age of 40, 41, but all four of the current champions of the four majors, 27 or under.
And you know what else might make you nervous if you're Tiger? The fact you never win. Well, so the fact every time you go out
five,
and you don't win?
A bunch of top five finishes.
Nah.
Out of over 100 plus golfers, that's pretty good. Nick, are we
handing out participant ribbons to Tiger now?
I don't know how much this conversation is about Tiger Woods and how much of it is about your obsession to get some Roger Federer love in this.
That's so true.
Like there's some Federer love going on here. Feels like there's some
because
bias.
You never have irrational things that you take over our podcast with. Hey, did you hear the Kevin Durant interview with Bill Simmons?
Yeah, cowardly Kevin Durant. By the way, Kevin Durant, he took the diamond lane. Why? Because it was the easiest way of getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah!
I didn't even know what that means.
It's a driving joke. It's if you have more than two passengers in your car, you get to be in the diamond lane, which means it's less competition to get to your destination.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Kevin Durant. Diamond Lane Durant. Oh, a new nickname for Kevin Durant. I'm very excited.
Leafs. Let's do it. So can we just agree, now that they're playing Boston, that there's a million reasons to say why Boston's better. There's a million reasons to say why the Leafs are going to be super competitive.
Yep.
Nobody really knows something, but at the very least, there's this.
Mm-hmm.
The Makuin cause to Mike Babcock challenge to play the kids more than 19 minutes each.
Yes. Oh, right? Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
We got to think of some kind of stakes to this, though.
Mm.
I was thinking more and more, though. The team balance is really good for the Leafs. Like
they
have a 30-goal scorer on each line.
Yep.
You know, that's Boston has three, but they're all on the same line.
My two, for people out there listening, and I was yammering about it on the radio today, the two stats that I love, if you want to go all in about Maple Leafs can beat Boston, and of course they can. This is not like some teams where it's like, ooh, they would need a miracle to get past blank. They don't need a miracle. They need a little run of luck. But then again, so do a lot of teams. Here's a stat I loved. And again, courtesy of The Athletic, and I think this was a Myrtle piece. The Leafs played almost a third of their schedule, 26 games, against opponents that had against 100-point teams. So against opponents with 100 points or more. That means that's they're playing elite teams.
Yep.
They went 15-10-1. You put that over 82 games, that's a 98-point pace. That's damn impressive. So basically, they would have made the playoffs at 98 points playing against, and again, obviously, it's a smaller sample size than 82 games, but the fact that they played almost a third of their schedule against 100-point teams and at that record, that makes me happy. And the corresponding stat with it, in those 26 games, they averaged more than 3 goals a game. That means they weren't just fattening up against bad teams. They were scoring against good teams.
People describe this as the best regular season the Leafs have ever had.
Yep.
Hard to say.
Hard to say.
I don't know.
And the original been six, harder right. competition. Brr, brr, brr.
Right. But can we agree on this, though, that what we expect out of this series has changed? That 2 months ago, that we would have said, in the playoffs, if the Leafs don't make the second round, it will be a bit of a disappointing year. Maybe even a very disappointing year.
Yeah.
Considering that they have to play Boston, that the reward for playing so well is yep. playing a better team, or at least one higher up in the standings.
Mm-hmm.
And considering how all the check marks for what you might hope happen this year, like most of them
they
got
both
checked.
Happened. Marner, Nylander, Matthews, yeah. better player.
You know, Freddie Anderson's a real player. Yeah, Morgan Riley's gotten better. Yeah. They got depth. Patrick Marleau's worked out. Like, there's so many check marks.
Travis Dermott, Andreas Janssen in limited time, playing well. Yeah.
So unless it is King Kong Bundy on SD Jones, it's WrestleMania 1 where he knocked him out in 9 seconds.
Yep.
Unless this is the gentleman sweep or worse.
Yeah.
It's been a good season.
Absolutely. I talked about it today. Yeah, 100%. And by the way, as bitter as Leaf fans are about after having this great season, having to play Boston, imagine if you're the Bruins. You were a period and a half away from having the best record in the East, and your reward for being the best team since December 1st, your reward, you're taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs.
You know what's weird about that too, Matt? You know it was in net for Florida?
James
Reimer.
Started as Reimer, then he got hurt. Then it was Luongo
right.
with his own personal history with Boston in the playoffs. Oh, absolutely. Both goalies have a house of horrors against the Bruins, and they got the win.
I'm glad that New Jersey made it through for all of the anti-Edmonton reasons we've discussed
yes.
on the pod in the past. But it kind of would have been nice if Florida did, because it would have been a Florida-Tampa matchup.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you yeah. know? Oh, God, yeah. Absolutely.
Or at least it could have been one, and that yeah. would have been a lot of fun. So, all right. Here's what I'm thinking going into these playoffs.
Yeah.
Here are all the things I'm not worried about. It's almost like the opposite of the Raptors, where I have
okay.
nothing but worries.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Mike Babcock, towards the, a little bit past halfway through the season, starts to address the lineup, and here's the cries, the lamentations of the Leafs fans. You know, Kasperi Kapanen gets promoted, Martin's bumped out. Starts,
15 after for game 60 of the season. After 59 games, that's when the change happened.
Right.
Ooh, oh, that's change. That's
Did
when
they hit puberty.
They hit puberty. That's what they went for. You know, the hey, look, there's Marner with Kadri.
Hey, Gary Bettman, what are you gonna do in June?
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was the puberty moment. Dermott and Laimet, Komarov down, Kasperi Kapanen up. Goodbye, Matt Martin. The Toronto Maple Leafs grew hair, their voice changed, and they noticed girls.
So here's the thing. It feels like this is probably the best version of the Leafs right now. So it's not like you have to go in as a fan and say, oh, stupid Leafs, and they're doing all these dumb things. I mean, you know, I don't know if I love Pollock where he's playing, but we'll see.
Yeah. It's not like there's all like 100 other options.
Well, and there were a bunch of little things that were just driving you crazy. Komarov getting so much ice time, but now he's bumped down. Like,
yep.
It feels like this is the team that you want to root for. And if they do lose, it's not because of stupid reasons that could have been fixed.
Yeah. 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 100%.
So great. I feel good about that.
Yep. I feel good about that as well.
Feeling really good about the depth.
Love the depth.
Looking at some of the players they got ready to go, whether it's Connor Carrick in case there's defensive issue, but Andreas Janssen.
Yep.
you know, Josh Levo.
Mm-hmm.
There's some guys.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get banged up if you go on a run, but they can sub in some bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm not feeling like it's, you know, they're one injury away from destruction.
Yes, absolutely. The depth is there. And again, the Leafs' goal differential went up. They scored more goals this year than last year. And Austin Matthews missed 20 games this year. He played all 82. So your best player missed almost 25% of the season, and yet the numbers got better. God, that's
just
depth.
We've talked about this plenty, but it just bears repeating every single pod. 5-on-5, he's a freak.
Yep.
He really is special. I was thinking more about our conversation either last time or a couple ago where we talked about how there isn't that one thing you look at Austin Matthews and say, man, he excels at that.
Yeah.
But I like the way you put it, actually. I don't think I gave you the proper credit you deserved.
Like the credit I deserve for my harrowing journey escaping zombies from the cold, dark condo this morning?
Matt, it was a beautiful tale of what a human being can overcome. I'd still like to recap it if I could. He woke up.
Yeah.
He expected light. There was no light.
Nope.
Went to work anyway.
Okay, you know, if you do it like that, Bob, God, you can make a, you know, they're like Neil Armstrong. He got into this metal object, flew up, walked around, flew home. Bam. I'm just like Neil Armstrong. Anyway, Austin Matthews.
I thought that you put it really well a couple pods ago when you said he has a way to take a chaotic situation and find control and order within it.
Yeah.
I thought, you know what? You're right. That's why we love him at center. You love him because he just has that ability to be in the middle of things. Got that great chemistry with Nylander. But it's just like he thinks like a grown-up in there.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you feel confident when you see him. And, mm-hmm. and he's like, okay, he's not going to do something stupid. He's going to get the best out of his line mates.
Calmly collects the puck, even though there's guys around him, and gets off a great shot, even though there's sticks and elbows all around.
Has the ability to make these very subtle little physical moves to give himself the element of surprise on goalies. Like,
yep.
It's just, he's just really in the moment. And he never seems to F up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Certainly very rarely. So I kind of wanted to pay credit to you, not only because of your incredible heroism.
Yeah.
And I believe you'll be next to Ted Rogers. There'll be a statue of you outside of the dome. Ted Rogers standing there looking like a business titan. And
yep.
You'll be standing there. There'll be a statue of you fumbling around a wall looking for a light switch.
Yes. And guess what, Bob? There was no light.
Unbelievable.
From that switch.
How did he do it? Maybe it'll be you spitting toothpaste into the toilet.
So creepy. That'd be a really bad.
Given you, I don't think people would believe it's toothpaste. I think they was just probably like a nice wine bender.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Good question. When was the last time you barfed from being too drunk?
It's been a while. I'd have to.
More than 10 years?
No, not more than 10 years.
5 years.
Yeah, okay. That's
not a dignified move.
No.
When you get older,
yeah.
There's a certain point in life. When you're a kid, you can pretty much count on once a month.
You don't want, You don't want to be like Billy Bob Thornton and Bad Santa, just throwing up because of booze.
That's a super undignified move. You have to hide it when you get older. When you're a kid, you're kind
of
like.
It's almost a badge of honor. Oh, my God. Man, I had so much Jaeger. I yacked
three times.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like getting a tattoo or something. It's like, hey, check it out.
Yeah.
But when you get a little older, you got to pretend.
Yeah.
Yeah, being older sucks.
I have, we'll have Thursday to talk about it. And, you know, the series, I think, is going to go long. If I was going to pick one reason why I'm nervous about Boston, beyond the fact they're a really good team, there's one sort of thing that encapsulates them. They got 112 points this year. Mm-hmm. Pretty damn good. They did that with Bergeron missed 18. Krejci missed 18. Charles McAvoy missed 19. Brad Marchand, some because of injury, a lot because of suspension, missed 14 games. Chara missed 9. Torrey Krug missed 6. So they managed to get that with lots of rookies and lots of rookies in the lineup and lots of their stars missing a bunch of time. That's a damn impressive 112-point season.
Bergeron is probably the best two-way player in the world.
Yeah.
Maybe not even probably. Let's just say he is.
Mm-hmm.
And that first line is probably the best first line in all of hockey.
Yep.
You've got great goaltending in Tuukka Rask, although his save percentage over the course of the year is almost identical to Freddie Anderson's. But you just feel like his experience in this world, I probably give it advantage to Tuukka Rask.
Yeah.
But what really gets me is that second pairing on Boston, Krug and Miller.
Mm-hmm.
The Leafs, there's a lot riding on that second pairing. I mean, you can skate Hainsey and you can skate Riley all you want, but eventually Gardner and Zaitsev are going to have to step up and be good. And I kind of...
It's the biggest concern.
Yeah, we all acknowledge that the forward depth on the Leafs is stronger.
Yeah.
Just the balance throughout the lineup. But Boston's defense is better. And you just keep wondering, okay, so Krug, Miller, how are they going to match up against, you know, Van Riemsdyk and his line?
Yeah, you're right.
Like, Sweeney has options.
Yep. Oh, God, yeah. So that's on Thursday. Can't wait. By the way, before we get off hockey, the funniest thing, for the NHL playoffs came out a couple hours ago. The New Jersey Devils. I think we agree. You know, they got some talent there. They got Taylor Hall. He's going to be up for the heart. They got Nico...
Hischier.
Hischier, thank you. The number one overall pick. Tampa, number one team in the East. They got plenty of stars there. Kucherov, Stamkos, Hedman. Woo, that's a talented team. Do you know where they're going to be playing, on what TV station they're going to be playing game four on?
Game four, okay, let me guess. Is it going to be like OLN or something?
Oh, you wish. OLN. So it's going to be on the Golf Channel. I am not lying to you. Go take a look at the schedule. NBC, they could have put it on CNBC, but they're rerunning Shark Tank. They could have put it maybe on the USA Network. You know what they have on that night? Law and Order SVU reruns. And again, Shark Tank reruns. Instead of putting on those networks, the Golf Channel. So for all of you that love golf but want to see Devils and Lightning, that to me is, I've never even heard of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's spectacular.
Yeah. Like, we bitch about the Raptors getting the noon start on Saturday. We joke it's going to be 10:30 in the morning, live streaming, you know. But
are you kidding? In comparison, the Raptors starting at noon on a Saturday is like getting Michael Jordan to be the celebrity ref. Like, yeah. That's like pure love.
Yeah, it's like Charles Barkley is actually calling the game for you. So, yeah.
Is that your seat?
Oh, my God. NHL. Good job with your TV pack, with all your TV deals in the United States.
Any other stories from the first round that kind of caught your attention? We've talked only about the Leafs. I think Winnipeg, Minnesota. Pittsburgh, Philly's going to be a good one. Remember the bloody series they had?
Exactly.
Crosby had his finger, or it was, whose finger did he bust?
Oh, Crosby's going to greasy face wash someone. Like, Crosby's going to do things that are going to make you think twice about visiting Cole Harbour. I mean, that's going to be good. But honestly, like, I mean, I know everyone's rooting for Winnipeg.
Anaheim and San Jose, so you got the Battle of California in a way.
I have no basis for this statement. I feel like Anaheim and San Jose have played 17 times in the playoffs. I am so sick and tired of all these California teams in the playoffs. They play together against each other every year, I feel. And I'm saying that with absolutely no knowledge of if they've ever even met in the playoffs. Feels like they have.
More likely to knock off the number one if you're the 8 seed. Is it New Jersey and Tampa, or is it Colorado against Nashville?
I think...
New Jersey.
Yeah?
I think that speaks more to Nashville, though. I can't see... Nashville's awful good.
Nashville's awful good. You know, unless McKinnon... It's funny. I can't see either of them happening, but yeah. If it's going to be one, it'd be Nashville.
We got to come up with a stake bet between now and the start of the NHL playoffs.
Okay.
Haven't really thought of anything yet.
Yeah.
Help us think of it. Okay, if you're out there listening, which I know you are because you're listening.
Yeah.
Help us think of a good stake bet. Something Matt versus Bob. Even where Matt does bet. Matt doesn't pay Bob.
Yeah.
When Bob wins.
Yeah, win. Don't put the S there. By the way, Bob, speaking of winning, if you want to win, and this is your time, by the way, Bob, to eat some celery.
I'm going
to
have some celery.
Yeah, you have some celery. If you want to win in the game of life, you want to try to save money. And also, why not do it by supporting Canadian business? Well, there's a way to do it, and that's seatgiant.ca. Canadian-owned and operating guarantees every ticket to be legitimate, and they stand behind the customer experience. Concert tickets, sporting events, whatever you want, go to seatgiant.ca. There's two things you need to know. One, as mentioned, this is Canadian-owned company, not like those other countries, but But two, all the money, all the tickets, what you see, it's in Canadian dollars. Stop paying U.S. dollars for your tickets. Get it in Canadian. You see the price. No more exchange fees, bank fees. What you see at checkout is what you pay. And by the way, it doesn't end there. You want to save some money? Sure you do. Use the discount code Bob and Matt at checkout to save money. Just click the add button, then the review order button, and your discount code will show up before confirming your order. You save some money. We get a little of that money sent to us. It's win-win. The podcast isn't free, but we love doing it, obviously. Discount code Bob and Matt, seatgiant.ca.
I'm going to give that an A+ because it gave me a chance to have a couple pieces of celery with some hummus on them.
Yeah.
Question for you.
Yep.
Hummus.
Yes.
Healthy snack or just not tasty snack?
Okay, it's somewhere in between because
it's kind of fattening.
Yeah, but it's good fat. You know, there's bad fat out there. It's not a bad fat, you know, so in that sense. But it's healthier than, say, like some other dips.
Well, it's not like getting the onion, ranch dressing. The onion dip
or
something.
Yeah, the onion dip. Yeah. So it's a healthier alternative. And here comes the boring answer. If had within moderation, it's fine. And all that. So
I remember my father once pulled me aside and he said, you know, the key to life is moderation. You know, you can do stuff and a lot in this world, but you just got to know when to say no. Right?
Yeah,
when
exactly.
to walk away. And my first thought was, what have you done?
Ooh, good point.
What have you done that this advice makes so much sense to you?
Yeah. Fidelity, vegetables. There are many things I like to do in moderation. Honesty. It all has a place.
Monogamy.
My taxes.
Actually, Dad, there are some things that people expect 100% commitment.
Speaking of hummus, you want to do, we were talking last week about top five food smells.
Like yeah.
Smells that when you walk into the home or you get woken up to, like these are the best food smells that can fill your house with joy.
Absolutely. I wrote here a list, so let me just call it up. All unless right. I lost it, in which case all right. I can't do that.
Do you want me to give you a
nope,
couple
I
seconds?
Got it. You got it? All right. So I've got a couple also rans, which I believe in, but I have to separate a little bit.
Yep.
Garlic didn't make the list. Garlic is delicious when being cooked, and I love it.
Yep.
It does have a negative effect on people after you eat it, and so it feels like there's a bit of give and take here.
Okay.
Curry.
Yep.
Which I personally love, but some people find very strong. Mm-hmm. So even though I find it delicious, it's not universally loved.
Yeah, okay.
And cinnamon, which I find can be also, once again, quite delicious, but it can also be a bit cloying and a bit heavy, like the smell of a cinnamon bun. It's
all right.
Almost there. All right, so that's the things that didn't make it.
Okay.
My top five. Number five, lemongrass.
Okay.
From Vietnamese food. Oh, the savory, delicious, nostril-opening scent of lemongrass in a delicious pho. Spectacular. Number two, chocolate chip
cookies. Wait, are you going one
sorry,
for
four, four. Sorry, four. Chocolate chip cookies. You walk into the house. Oh, you can just smell them through the oven door. It makes you want to have 60 of them.
Yep.
Number three, coffee. Mm-hmm. Coffee, if you're not a coffee drinker, maybe not. But I'll tell you, when you drink coffee, you wake up and you want one and you get that incredible aroma. Mm-mm. Number two, turkey in the oven. Mostly because you have to smell it while you're hungry for four straight hours because you try not to have breakfast.
Yep.
Right? Because you don't want to have too much to eat because then you can't enjoy all that turkey. So you smell it and you have to, it's almost like you're chained to the oven.
Yep.
That's so good. And number one, and I think this one's kind of obvious, the best way to make it wake up in the morning.
Yep.
And I say bar none. Bacon. The smell of bacon.
Yep.
God's way of saying, no, do it. Get up. It's okay. It's worth it. Get out of bed. The day ahead, it's yours, baby.
God's way of saying to the protesters at that Antler restaurant, maybe find something else to protest about.
It's just such a great... You know what? Actually, bacon smells better than it tastes, which is one of the rare things out
that's
there.
That's true. It tastes delicious,
but it smells the best. All right, so that's my top five food smells.
Couple thoughts. Okay. First, we're actually cooking a turkey, but it's in the very early stages right now in this house. You know what? I'm going to do mine because there's going to be some crossover.
Okay.
There's going to be some crossover.
And I should have mentioned bread too, because fresh out of the oven bread.
That sort of falls in with the chocolate chip thing.
kind of.
And there's gonna be some controversy. Right. Number five for me is waffles. It has sort of that yeasty, vanilla-y brioche thing going on. Plus, you know, sometimes there's a little hint of maple syrup as well. So number five.
But that's just because you love waffles.
It smells delicious.
I don't know if the I don't know if it's universally acknowledged that the best part of waffles is the smell.
You know what, Bob? I bet if we ask 100 people, what do they prefer, waffles or lemongrass in terms of smell, they're coming on board my team. Number four, first crossover, bacon. How can it not be on the list? I got it at four. You got it number one. Number three was your number four, chocolate chip cookies. I mean, also, it is impossible when there's a plate to not eat one. And by not eat one, minimum two.
And I will take that, yeah, exactly, a step minimal further. It's impossible not to eat one. And having eaten one, it's impossible not to eat four.
Oh, yeah. It's like just, it's the easiest thing in the world to eat a plate of chocolate chip cookies. Like,
and everybody does the dance. Everybody does the lie where you go over and you have one.
Just one, that's all.
I'm just going to have one.
Just one.
And then you walk over 10 minutes later and you have another. And then you think, well, I've already had two. I mean, what's the difference between two and three?
Yeah.
They're practically the same
number. Practically the same. It's too late now. And you make sure that third cookie is the largest one where you can see the chocolate chips are the most prominent.
White or dark chocolate?
Oh, dark.
Yeah.
No yeah, question. Yeah, absolutely.
Have you ever noticed that that doesn't extend to other cookies, too? Like oatmeal raisin doesn't smell quite as delicious. Something about the smell of the chocolate mixing with the dough.
Well, raisins are one of nature's greatest mistakes. At number two, this is where you and I get a little bit different. Eglinton Subway Station. Eglinton Subway.
Cinnabon.
Cinnabon. And I'm getting nods of approval behind me. I was at Eglinton Station on Friday. And the moment the door opens, all I am is a Cinnabon is coming in. And in like Looney Tunes cartoons, when they put the fresh pie on the windowsill, the smell grabbed me by the nostrils. And then I'm flying like a magic carpet over towards it. Oh, the Cinnabon smell. Glorious.
All right. So let's put a pin in that for now because I got a question that's kind of related we'll come back to.
Okay. But number one, garlic, but not really, a tomato-based garlic spaghetti sauce. Like just, and it's got to be red. Red, just, you know, bolognese, you know, just good tomato sauce for me is number one.
I actually yesterday heated up part of a jar of tomato sauce and ate it out of the frying pan with a spoon.
Yeah.
It was so good.
So good.
I thought, at first I thought I was going to make pasta and then I forgot that we don't have any. We still needed to buy some.
Yeah.
Didn't stop me.
Didn't stop
me. Just kept heating it up because I thought, this is going to a good home.
Yeah. The only complaint you would have had is if I only had a French loaf of bread just to
dip it.
Just to dip it all up.
My mouth is watering right now. Could be the turkey in the oven,
though. Could be the turkey in the oven.
Hard to say.
I'm hungry.
All right. I want to come back to this. The TTC, not known for a good place to eat.
Yeah.
Safe to say.
Yeah.
Eglinton has Cinnabon and Bathurst has the meat patties place.
Yep. Yeah,
do you ever eat at the meat patties place?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Which is better?
In the end, I'm going Cinnabon.
I'm going with the meat patties. Here's why, though.
All right.
The Cinnabon's very hard to eat around other people.
True.
You have to wait for it.
Yeah, that is true.
You got to get to where you're going because you can't eat a Cinnabon on the bus.
The Cinnabon is basically you're like a squirrel. You're like a squirrel and you grab a nut and you have to go run into a corner.
Like the squirrel in Ice Age.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that is 100%.
I forget the squirrel's name, but yeah, like that.
Yeah, you're right. You cannot eat. If you try to eat the Cinnabon in front of other people, you're going to be a mess. You're going to look like it. And also, no dignified adult. Hello there. I'm an adult. I was born in the 70s and now I'm shoving Cinnabon in my mouth on public transportation.
Bare hands or knife and fork?
Ooh, bare hands.
Yeah,
totally. And the unwrapping, the uncoiling of the Cinnabon.
Is that how you do it?
Oh, yeah.
Do you do it like a ribbon that you...
Yeah, like a ribbon.
You unfurl?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%.
I'm all about just like lower my head into... Yeah, roar. As you like to say, Captain, caveman! Oh, I'm going to go with the meat patties.
Yep.
Just because you can eat them on the subway.
You can, absolutely.
And I'm not good at waiting.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, that is a good point. Oh my God. I've never had a Cinnabon on a streetcar or subway because usually I'm getting it while, you know, if I have it's leaving the subway. And I couldn't do that. I couldn't sit with a box of Cinnabon on my lap.
On your lap.
Ooh, I'll wait for this when I get home at an appropriate time. It's like when you get like fast food. The French fries, and you get like a burger fries or whatever, the French fries don't make it till you get home. You're jamming the French fries in your mouth, and you have the hamburger and the chicken or whatever when you get home.
And that meat patty is like I'm going to say 40% gone by the time I've got the change out of my pocket to pay for it.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. Bob, you know what's really sweet?
What's really sweet? Why do I feel like somehow Jeff Pollock is involved?
Bob, let me tell you, Jeff Pollock is not just involved, but also his wife, Yevgeny Pollock, is also involved.
Yevgenia
is also involved. Thank you. She handles all the accounting and the tax side. And why is she involved? Because Jeff Pollock's law firm, it's a family law firm. It's not some cold, sterile place right out of a 1984 commercial trying to sell you a Macintosh computer. No. This is a small law firm to help you out with all of your needs. They take calls at odd times. Jeff Pollock is there when you need him. He is our lawyer. We think he should be your lawyer. He deals with everything. Litigation, states and trusts, corporate, commercial, real estate law. You got an issue, he will help you out. He's got all my will stuff figured out. Eventually, he'll do that with Bob. Bob gets around to it. If you want to contact him, jeffpollock.com. That's Jeff with a G, jeffpollock.com. The phone number, it's a pizza number, 416-777-0088. The number again, 416-777-0088. I think I mispronounced seven.
Yeah.
That's the second time.
You know what? I was busy eating some cucumber.
Yeah.
I haven't had anything to eat yet today.
Yeah.
I just came from a pitch. I was pitching a kid's show before we came over here.
Yeah.
And
do you want to talk about it? Can you talk about it?
It sucked.
Yeah.
I was bad in the room. I guarantee you we didn't make the sale. This might be one of those miracle Hollywood stories where you go, we were all depressed afterwards. But then they bought it and we won an Oscar. I don't think it's gonna be that though.
I'll give you a couple options. Was it more like Albert Brooks when he has to do the news and broadcast news and he's just sweating and stuttering? Or more like Chris Farley in Tommy Boy when he freaks out and explains why he sucks as a salesman?
You've done stand-up.
Yeah.
You know how sometimes you tell jokes, but people in the audience don't see it that way?
I'm going to start shuddering. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was one of those. Hey, is this thing on?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was one of those.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah,
it happens.
You know what? It's nature of the biz.
Yep. Absolutely.
So I got dot, dot, dot.
Yep.
And we can get to a few of them here, I think.
Let's get to it. I think because both of us are hungry. A lot of food talk today. We're 45 minutes
just
in.
Starving. All right. So dot, dot, dot. Between UFC and WrestleMania this weekend, the women are becoming more equal to the men when it comes to combat sports in the public eye. Dot, dot, dot. Philly have won 14 in a row to really F the Raptors. Dot, dot, dot. Tuesday night, cannot wait for the second leg of the CONCACAF semifinals in the championships, dot, dot, dot. And elevators are stupid, dot, dot, dot.
We'll get to elevators in a second. You know, we usually don't do a lot of soccer. And Tuesday night, second leg in Mexico for TFC. They're getting close to doing something no MLSE team has ever done, win CONCACAF. It starts at 10. It's a little bit late for someone who's going to be waking up at 4:30 the next morning. But go, Bob, go.
I'm really pumped. Now, I've said this many times. I do not pretend to understand soccer. Mm-hmm. Getting a little better at it. But I'm like that friend who says he loves hockey.
Yep.
And then he starts talking about, here's a better analogy. Like my butcher, who mm-hmm. said he's a huge Bills fan, and then he was excited about Tyrod Taylor.
Okay.
That's who I am when it comes to soccer. Yeah. Better.
Yeah.
All right. But man, as an event, as a citywide event, this is damn fun. Absolutely loving it. Here's what kind of bums me out, though, because New York, the Red Bulls, have a chance to go through. I think they're playing a team called Guadalajara.
Yeah.
It would kind of bum me out if two MLS teams made it to the final.
Yeah, you're right.
Because then it wouldn't be so special.
You're right. That's a good point.
That's selfish, but...
You got to beat a team not from North America.
Yeah.
Ooh, this is cultural appropriation. If it's two teams from north of Mexico in the finals, because they're never in the finals. You rarely even get a team from America or Canada in the finals.
It's not special. It's special-ish.
Yeah.
If we beat New York in the
finals. That's a good point. Never thought about that. Yeah. You're right. And also, like, just the environment, it's going to be crazy there. You got the nutty coach for Mexico, who must be a really good coach, but is also seems a little insane to me.
Well, that'll be Club America. If we beat them, Club and we America. Get through, and I'm pretty sure it's Guadalajara they'd be playing. Yeah, you just want to go to Mexico. So I'm a bit reticent.
You're right. So finally, an MLS team has won CONCACAF on the soil of New Jersey. Oh, all right. I was kind of hoping to be, you know, this grand stadium somewhere in Mexico.
All right. So do you have more you want to ask about that?
Yeah, of course, okay. We're going to, I want to do the Philadelphia, the 76ers.
Yes, yeah. 14 in a row.
How many, though, against good teams?
Doesn't matter.
Like,
it's all about the standings.
Oh, I know it's all about the standings. I'm just saying this on one end. Everyone's getting worried about Philly. I think they've beaten Memphis 5 times. And they're not even supposed to play Memphis more than twice. But anyway, sorry.
I'm actually not worried about Philly.
No.
But I am worried about Cleveland. And I can't believe the universe is going to line this up so that we win the Eastern Conference in order to get
LeBron
in the second round.
In the second round. I know. And you know Cleveland's going to do it because everything changed when Kyrie Irving got hurt. Now it's like, you know, everyone wants to face. They're going to do whatever they can. No, you take third. No, you take third. It's.
So here's what I'm thinking. It's stupid for me to try to pretend I know what's in LeBron's head.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play a game called I wouldn't be surprised if LeBron actually wants to play Toronto. Mm. Because when you think about these alpha athletes,
yeah,
when you know you've got a team, and Kyle Lowry saying nobody's made any ground up on them at the end of last year's loss, and the fact that they could beat them in this last game, I bet you LeBron thinks he can psych out Toronto,
of course,
more easily than he can psych out Boston.
But hold on, wait, I my brain just twitched off for a second there. If you're Philly or Cleveland, isn't the better play to get up to third place so you play Boston in the second round?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, isn't that the better play? Just without Kyrie Irving, then the highest score is Jason Tatum. I agree with what you're saying. Because Philly is winning so much, it's forcing Cleveland into the four seed, which means they face the Raptors in the second round. But if I'm Cleveland...
But they're a tough team. See,
I know Boston, they're a tough team.
You're 100% right in terms of the team on paper. But Boston has proven itself to be a more resilient team than Toronto, I think, this year.
True.
A lot of their wins have come in the fourth quarter, in the last 5 minutes, these crazy comebacks. Like, they just don't give up. You know, they're the serial killer in a bad 80s movie. You think they're dead, and they're never dead. The Raptors, on the other hand, it's like they're on third, and they don't know whether or not to take home or not.
Yep.
Be Kevin Pillar.
Yep.
Steal home. It's yours. Betances isn't even paying attention. Sorry, I crossed sports there.
You
but
did.
My point is simply this. If I'm LeBron, I'm saying, okay, Toronto may be the better team, but they might be the more beatable team because maybe they're more likely to beat themselves.
I'll say this. The Raptors' first playoff game is going to be on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
If they lose game one, I'm going to have to contact iTunes to see about Monday's podcast. It's just going to be one big F word-a-thon. Because we talked about it last week. I'm so much more emotional about this Raptors team because I don't know, maybe because they've angered me more, because I know that the window is closing. I don't know what it is, but man, if they lose game. We've talked about that.
Do you know what it is? Do you know why you're emotional about this team?
Mm.
Because you have watched it grow from the beginning.
Yeah.
That they were a bad team that really only had DeMar, and maybe DeMar didn't want to stay there. And there was all these Brian Colangelo shenanigans, Rudy Gay. I mean, even going back to Jermaine O'Neal and Chris Bosh. Like, you've lived through a lot.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
no, it's
finally
true.
Something stuck.
Yep.
And you watch them get better, and you've grown with them. See, if the Leafs are the pubescent team, this team is now almost 30.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you going to move out of the house or what?
That's a perfect way of putting it. What's wrong with elevators?
Oh, they're stupid. Okay, so I'm on my way back down on the...
Yeah, the CN Tower, the climb rock, right? Again, congratulations.
And I was thinking about this before, and this simply confirmed my thinking. Elevators are a perfect metaphor for modern life. They were a brilliant innovation, a proof of how technology and creativity can change the way people live. Without them, you probably couldn't have these tall buildings because nobody's walking to the 30th or 40th floor. Elevators, they keep the world going.
Yeah.
But when you stop and actually think about what you're doing in an elevator, it's insane. You are in a box suspended by a rope.
Yep.
Hundreds of feet in the air. Can you imagine, and I maintain, the worst invention that has never happened is the glass bottom elevator.
Mm-hmm.
How would you feel if you could look down and see what you were actually doing every morning?
This goes back to your fear of heights.
I don't like heights, but even in general, like the idea, like, okay, I get the plane. The plane is kind of weird, but to be 30, 40, 50 stories in the air and you're suspended by a wire, would you ever be comfortable looking down and thinking, I'm 200 feet in the air? But
yeah,
because it's enclosed,
yes,
and we don't see how the sausage is made.
Yep.
Much like modern life, mm-hmm. we simply say to ourselves, must be fine. Nothing to see here. Moving right along.
I think if you lived in a condo, maybe you would like elevators more, because if you had to go up 20 floors every day, especially with groceries, that would be a pain in the ass.
Okay, you have to admit, though.
Oh, no, you're right, Bob. On a base intellectual level, the idea that I'm in a box being suspended by, you know, by a chain or, you know, cable or whatever it is, yes, there is a harrowing element of that.
If you were to look at window washers.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And say to yourself, I could do that. That's easy. No problem. What is the freaking difference between the window washer and somebody in an elevator, except for the fact that one is inside the building and the other one is outside of the building?
First off, with window washers, I've never once looked at a window washer and go, I could do that.
But you took the elevator up to your penthouse.
I did.
How many floors are we up now?
13. 12,
13?
13.
Yeah, you probably never gave it a second thought and never would.
Nope.
What if you had to come up the outside of the building with exactly the same contraption?
I would complain to my super that this method of getting to the top of the building is unacceptable. So yes, it would definitely be a lot more freaky.
So my point is, elevators are stupid, and show how easily anesthetized we are to our environment. As long as we don't have to see it, we don't have to think about it.
What about the Willy Wonka one?
What's that?
The Willy Wonka elevator. It was all glass, and then it flew all over the place. Maybe you don't remember Willy Wonka well as I do.
I don't think I ever read it. No. Well, it was about chocolate, so I'm sure you read it a lot of times.
Abso-bleepin-lutely.
Matt, you are like the Homer Simpson when he's in the land of chocolate.
Yep. Oh God, yes.
You're a bit like Uta from The Simpsons. I cannot run.
Stop it. I'm so filled with chocolate. Well, that pretty much wraps it up here, Bob. Yeah. Again, congrats on doing the CN Tower climb.
You did it very nicely, Matt. Mm-hmm. Thanks for not telling me I'm overweight.
I wonder why.
Right, because you would have said, Bob, congratulations on that monumental feat.
No, it's hard to do. Damn. I mean,
it wasn't that hard.
I've done the stairs here up 13 floors, and after 13, I'm like, I'm kind of tired.
Yeah. So. Thank you very much.
Yes.
And you're training for a marathon, right? You're about to start?
We'll see. Yeah, I want to. It all depends. Dress shoes, playing basketball a couple of weeks ago with a nephew that kind of effed up my right leg. But going back down after this is done, I'm going to see how I'm feeling and just every couple of days see how it's feeling.
Oh, geez, I almost forgot to do Wine Spectator magazine and to give a
restaurant recommendation. Yeah, absolutely. All right.
So I'm flipping through Wine Spectator magazine in your washroom, and this is the May 2013 back edition of Wine Spectator. Sushi on the front, rooted in Japan, flourishing in America, with a picture of some, what kind of wine? Is that sparkling wine?
Yeah, that's sparkling. Yeah, look, Bob, there's bubbles. Of course it's sparkling wine.
I know. All right, but I'm flipping through. And there's a whole bunch of little devices in here, a section called entertaining.
Yeah.
So I ask you, what is the silliest and most unnecessary device that you actually own pertaining to wine?
That I actually own, really not many, because I don't like a lot of the devices that
there is
the electronic corkscrew opener where you put this whole like cylindrical. Yeah. And you put it over it, and you hit a button, and the corkscrew, and it, you know, it's supposed to go into the cork and take it out again. I hate those.
So is this like some Elon Musk tunneling device?
Yeah, exactly. And they're out there, and it's unreliable. Just stick with the traditional corkscrew.
What do you do when you rip half the cork out when you're trying to pull the cork out? Because I do that all the time.
Put it in the sink. Blow on it to start blowing out all the excess cork, and then you just got to go slow, and you got to read it, you got to listen to it, you know, it's like you got to horse whisper it. It's the only way you can do it.
Can you repeat that again with the obvious double entendres that you're clearly engaged
not in? At all, Bob. We got like 45 seconds. Give a restaurant.
Mother India at the corner of Lansdowne and Queen. And I say this mostly because we ate there the other night and our eyes started to tear and we're trying to figure out, were they cutting onions in the kitchen and they cut so many that everyone's eyes blew up?
So good. Real quick for me, I won't give a specific one. I'll just say this. Don't fear German Riesling. It's not as sweet as what it used to be. Go back and check it out. A lot of depth, a lot of acidity, and is great with spicy food that you would find at Indian restaurants.
Wonderful. Hang on. Can I do a quick Alan Parsons here?
Yep.
Blue Oyster Cult?
Sure.
Don't fear the Riesling.
Don't fear the Riesling. Goodbye, Bob.
Goodbye, Matt. Ch-ch-ca.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.